Well, I've been selling the equipment online for about 6 or 7 years now, and it's just gotten, you know, bigger and bigger every year, so I just thought I'd try and take the next step.
Ghost Hunting Sources Showroom, located in the old Robertson Building in downtown Springfield, hosts everything a potential ghost hunter might want. Darren tells me the most popular item Ghost Hunting Source sells is the EMF meter. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
Well, the theory out there is that spirits are, you know, attracted to these electromagnetic fields. With these gadgets here, it could give you a reading if there is an electromagnetic field going on.
For Darren, providing ghost hunting equipment is only part of the job. Outside of work, Darren goes on the hunt himself with his friend Steve Worthen. Steve says the first time Darren invited him to a ghost hunt, he jumped at the chance. And since then, he's been hooked.
The 10-year-old boy in me loves being in these old deserted buildings like a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Darren and Steve showed me some of the Robertson Building's abandoned factory floors above the storefront. And even in the daylight, they're majorly creepy. As they showed me around, my headphones and microphone amplified every sound, and I was sure I was hearing phantom footsteps. Steve was quick to reassure me. "It's just dripping water," he said. According to him, it's the ghost hunter's duty to be extra skeptical.
You know, I don't go, "There's a ghost behind you." There isn't, by the way, you can come.
After my tour of the Robertson Building, Darren and Steve said I was welcome to tag along on a ghost hunt there in a few weeks. Obviously, I was in. But before I went on the hunt, I really needed to bone up on my ghost hunting knowledge. I got in touch with the Dayton, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society, or DOGS as they're known. The group was co-founded by brothers Rob and Ed Fremder. Rob said Ed gave him the idea back in 2007.
He calls me up on the phone and says, dude, you got to see this. These guys are on TV and they've got all these computer and gadgets and all this stuff, and they're looking for ghosts. They're talking to ghosts. I'm like, well, yeah, we could do that.
When DOGS gets a request to do a paranormal investigation, they do their best to find conventional means of explaining whatever a patron is experiencing. Faulty wiring, electronics on the fritz, or even psychotropic medication could all convince someone there's a ghost in the house. But if DOGS can't find an earthly reason for your ghostly trouble, they'll come back and investigate further. Contrary to popular belief, no busting of ghosts will occur. Instead, DOGS instructs home and business owners to live in harmony with their haunts. DOGS member Donna Garwood sent me off with a piece of advice on how to prepare for the upcoming hunt.
You meditate and you open up and you ask the good Lord to protect you and don't let nothing evil get a hold of you.
On the night of the ghost hunt, the Robertson Building was packed with hunters, and paranormal gadgetry beeped and clicked. Some of us headed down to the basement first and gathered around pro ghost hunter Teresa Lynch. She took out 2 mini Maglite flashlights, which she unscrewed slightly until they were between the on and off positions. She laid them on a trash can.
Okay, if there's anybody in here, spirit-wise, that would like to communicate with us tonight, there are 2 flashlights. If you could touch those, that'll turn them on. And that lets us know that you're here and ready to communicate. Anybody here?
We got no action in the basement, so we all trudged upstairs to one of the factory floors, which was clearly being used for storage. Among many other things, there were piles of old doors, giant streetlight bulbs, a single cowboy boot, and a jar full of liquid, nonchalantly labeled battery acid. The ambiance was spot on. Teresa tried the flashlight method again, but still no response. So she brought out a piece of equipment often used by ghost hunters known as a spirit box. The device is essentially a badly working radio. It scans rapidly through AM radio frequencies, creating static. The theory is spirits are able to use the white noise generated by the spirit box to communicate.
So if anybody would like to communicate with us, if you'll just talk. Hello. How many years did you work here?
10.
Thank you so much for your answers and communication.
It looked like things were heating up. We got some more chit-chat from the spirit box, and even what sounded like a name, Robert. But the talk petered out, so another ghost hunter reminded Robert he could still use the flashlight to communicate with us.
We need that flashlight.
The flashlight switched on. I could barely believe it. Teresa asked the spirit to prove it was really there and turn the light back off.
Turn the light back out so we can ask questions.
offer.
Just the light just turned out. For sure. It's positive that it was you.
So, what did I hear and see at the Robertson Building? Did the spirit box really transmit the thoughts of a ghost? Or was it errant chatter from talk radio or a trucker's CB? Maybe the vibrations of our footsteps made the flashlight engage. Maybe I didn't hear or see anything. Nevertheless, everyone I met was kind and fun, and I had a great time. And as I got into bed later that night, I imagined a man named Robert, forever destined to walk the lonely factory floors of the building where he had once worked, hoping for a night like tonight, when someone might walk in and ask his name.
Shankill Butchers on the Rock.
For WYSO's Community Voices, I'm Lauren Schaus.
The dead of